welcome to class today. Before we begin, any comments, questions, concerns, rebuttals, or criticisms to make for me? Okay. We have today one announcement. Next class period. You should bring in one object for show and tell. Okay, I don't really care what it is you bring in, as long as it's appropriate for polite, for mixed audiences. Bring in some physical thing. We will use it in an exercise to help you understand classes more. So, bring in something. The weirder it is, the more interesting that will be. Yeah, that's our only announcement. So, let's begin with a bit of an activity. So last class, one of the things that I did in class was draw this picture right here. Draw what happens in memory as you're invoking a method that's using an object. We talked about this, we talked about the methods, memory, the object, and so on. So what I'd like to do to start out today is I would like you to practice this drawing memory for these three classes that I have defined here, and this line of code. Okay, you can assume that one line of code is being run from a main method, and you're welcome to make reasonable assumptions about what any method does, including the constructors or other methods. I don't really care what you decide, but I'd like you to try to draw something similar to what we have over here that would appear after we are finished running the one line here, circle C equals new circle example. Okay? Then we'll come back, we'll talk about it in some. I would prefer if you do this in pairs. So if you are sitting all by yourself, now would be a good moment to rectify that. We will also want you to draw this picture and turn it in. So if you have paper you can turn in, great. If not, we have a stack of paper here. We can distribute it through the room. If you want some paper, keep your hand in the air until we give you some paper. Before we start distributing paper, any questions? Sorry, put your hands down for a moment. Questions about what we're doing before we distribute paper? Questions? No questions. Yes, question. You are drawing a picture of memory, like we have on in the black, based on the classes we see on the white. Other questions? Okay, we will begin distributing paper. All right. Thank you very much. Make sure you have IDs on both corners, yours on one, theirs on the other. Pass all the papers towards the middle aisle. We will collect them up. And then I will walk through how I would solve this problem, and we'll talk about it as we go. Okay? So pass all the papers towards the central aisle so that Sam can grab them from you. And I'm going to walk through how I'd solve this problem. Okay, so when I look at this problem, I want to start drawing boxes. I always start with the method's memory, personally. So I'm going to start with main's memory, because I'm going to assume that the circle constructor is running in main. Okay? So I'm going to go, and I'm just going to draw a box for main. Now, inside my box for main, who knows what was initialized before the code I'm just running. What I know exists here is a variable called C. So I'm going to make a variable called C inside my main memory. Because I know there's one, I created it right here. Circle C creates a box named C. So I create that box. Okay? Inside that box is going to be a pointer to an object. Okay? I know it's a pointer to an object both because circle is not a primitive, and because I have the word new here. Both of those tell me it's a pointer towards an object. So I'm going to make a pointer, and it's going to point to a circle object. So I will make a box for a circle object, because that's what it's pointing to. And now I'm left with, what do I put in the box? What goes inside a circle object? The things that go inside circles are their fields. Circles have three: center, radius, and name. So I need to put a box for center, a box for radius, and a box for name inside my circle. Center, radius, and name. And each one of these will have a box as well, a field to store information in. And then I have to put something in each of these boxes. Okay? So as I look at these three different fields, I can see that fraction point and string are class types. So they're going to have arrows in those boxes. But double is a primitive, so its value is going to go right in the box. So let's start with the double radius. I never showed the method for a circle, so I'm welcome to pick any version of what the constructor looks like. What do we think is the default radius for circles? Anyone? What's the default radius for a circle? Yes. Zero. All right, so we have a zero radius circle. Does it matter if it was zero or some other number? For the purposes of this picture, it doesn't. And if you look at the slides we did from the 1 o'clock class, they picked two. It doesn't matter, okay? Some default radius. I also need something in center and name. So let's think about name. Name could point to any string, but likely it points to the one that was provided in the constructor invocation. Most likely, you create a circle with a particular string. That's the string that's going to be saved as name. So I'm going to assume that's the case. I'm going to make name point to a string that is the string they provided. Okay? I'm not going to worry too much about how strings store their information under the hood. I know that they actually have an array of characters, and we could draw that out, but I'm just going to say it's a string that's the value of the string as example. So name points to that string. Has to point because it's not a primitive type, and I'm picking whatever was provided. Okay? And that leaves center. Center is also an object type, not a primitive. So it must be pointing to something, and it needs to point to a fraction point object. So I better make myself a fraction point object, which I'm going to initialize FB on my slides, because that will be easier than writing it out in full. Okay? So I have this string. It's pointing to a fraction point object. And I need to now put in whatever goes in the fraction point box. So fraction points have two fields, X and Y. So I make an X box and a Y box. X, Y. And the type of both of those is fraction, which is not a primitive type. It is a complex class or object type, depending on what word you want to use. So that means there are also going to be arrows inside those. So X is going to have to go off and point to some fraction. And so is Y. Okay. So they both point out to fractions. And then inside every fraction, I have a numerator and a denominator. So each one of those fraction boxes, I need to have a numerator and a denominator, which I'm just going to abbreviate N and D for the sake of space on this slide. Okay? And now I've still got four boxes to put values in. But I see that numerator and denominator are ints. So they put the values directly in the boxes. Again, I could pick, depending on how the constructor is written, they may have different numbers. I'm just going to pick some numbers completely at random because I want to have some numbers. So I'm going to say it's at 0.34 is the center of our zero size circle. Probably not the default place for circles, but that's what I'm going to write down. Okay? And this is my finished picture of memory. So, that said, any comments, questions, concerns about this? Yes?
Does an arrow mean stores memory too?
An arrow, yes. When I draw an arrow, under the hood, Java calls this an address. Okay? So Java has an address for every object in memory. That's the thing that appears after the at sign in the ugly print in the ugly two string. Okay? But we draw it as an arrow because it's where to find it. Yes?
Why aren't
they zero by default? They might be. Okay? I don't know what the fraction constructor looks like, nor what the fraction point constructor was called as, because all of the code I was given was just a call to circle. So, in general, the circle constructor will call the fraction point constructor, which will call the fraction constructor. And who knows what numbers get passed in. I just picked something. Yes? Why doesn't example get stored directly in name? Okay. Let's just do a quick poll. I know why example is not stored in name. Nope, don't know. All right. The only things that can go in the boxes are primitive types. There are only 8 primitive types. String is not one of them. Okay? So double and int both go in the box. Everything else, besides Boolean and character and the other types of int and double type numbers, everything else gets put in its own box. So name will point to string, and actually inside string, if we looked under the hood, it would have a variable that's pointing off to an array of characters. Okay, so we'd have some more arrows in there. I'm sort of doing shorthand for how the string is defined. But anytime I'm dealing with something other than a primitive, I put another box. Yes?
Does like fraction, do methods, that be addressed in this?
Do methods show up in memory? No. Okay? So if I invoke a method, then it would show up in my stack of methods, which currently just has main on it. Okay? But for when I'm looking at the objects, they're over actually a different part of memory called the heap. Not that that matters. Okay? So the objects don't have methods in their boxes. If I were to run some method of the circle class, there's only the constructor right now, but if I put something else there, then I would add whatever that new thing was over here on top of main, get stacked up. Other questions about this? Yes?
When you have the arrows pointing to the boxes, are they pointing to the memory or to the whole box?
To the whole box. This is an important point. Arrows, addresses, must be of objects. Okay? I cannot talk about a variable. I can only talk about an object or a value. So I can talk about 3, and I can talk about the fraction 3 once, but I cannot talk about the numerator field of the fraction as a pointer, as an arrow. Okay? If I wanted to get at that fraction, that number n, from main, I could. I would have to say, okay, I want to start with the c variable. I want to follow its arrow. Follow arrow is written dot. So from c, follow the arrow. Now I'm inside the circle object. I eventually want to get down to the numerator of 3 once, so I need to go to the center. Okay, so I'm now talking about this box. I want to follow the arrow down to the fraction point. From the fraction point, I want to go to the x box, and then I want to follow the arrow up to n. And then I'd say n, and I could change its value, or whatever I wanted to do. Okay? So if I need to talk about that n box, I would have to do it like that. Usually, though, I couldn't do that, because all the other pieces would be private. And I wouldn't be allowed to write that code. Yes? I absolutely can have center.x.x. Okay? What would it mean? How would center.x.x make sense? If I had defined my fractions variables or fields to be named x and y, then center.x.x would make sense.
Because the fraction point knows
you're
a fraction.
Because the fraction point, yeah, so center.x.x in this picture, from c.center.x.x. Okay. At any given point along the way, I'm only looking at one object, and the field names in that object are unique. If I changed it in one fraction, I'd have to change it in all, because I can only clean it for a little class, not for a particular object. So I can't make one fraction object that has x and y, and a different fraction object that has n and d. But if I defined fraction all the way along to have x's and y's, that would work. Let me change this back to what the code looks like, though, so it'll be more useful in reference later. Yes?
Do you need constructors
constructors inside these boxes on this picture? No. Why not? In the memory of the computer, I don't store methods. Constructor methods, any other methods. I just store the fields, the information about the objects. The methods exist somewhere in your computer's memory. They're somewhere else where we store code. It's not what we draw pictures of. Well, we have pictures of them, but they're different kinds of pictures. Other questions about this? Yes?
Does this have a name?
Does this have a name? This is often called a box and arrow diagram, a very creative name. There is no standard name for it. However, if I tell almost any programmer, draw a picture of memory, this is what they will draw. Okay? Some of them will actually go down to bits and bytes, but most of them will draw boxes and arrows. So this is a picture of memory. Do I care if you can draw a picture of memory? A picture of memory in and of itself is not something I care about. Okay? But the ability to picture memory will help you avoid all kinds of problems later on. And when you start writing classes and the homework that will come after the test, both of them, you'll be writing your own classes, it is worth your while pausing occasionally and trying to draw what you think memory looks like and make sure that what you have in your head matches what you wanted to have on code. Other questions about this? Okay. Then, we are going to switch to a different drawing activity. Okay. So here, the second thing I have in lecture notes here, diagramming a class. This is something that I think is important in and of itself. This is a sort of thing that, this is a sort of a simplified version of something that's shown up in a lot of test twos. Okay? So we're going to walk through it a little bit. You'll work in partners in class today. And we'll try this out, and then we'll talk about the solution and ins and outs of it. So what does this say? Create a UML class diagram. What is a UML class diagram? A UML class diagram is these things. This is a UML class diagram, and so is this, and so is this. It's these three boxes: name, fields, methods, how we design classes. Okay? So create one of those for some class. Its purpose is to represent a GPS coordinate. You should be able to compute the distance between two points and which of a pair of points is farther from sea level. Okay? That's the description. The goal is to create a UML class diagram to describe this. So we'll distribute papers again. We will collect these again. Right? I would still encourage you to work in pairs. If you want to move around to a different pair, it can make your life more exciting. If you're lazy, you're welcome to stay in the same seat. We'll take a few minutes to do this. We'll come back and talk about it. Any questions about what we want you to do? Okay. Okay. So once again, put your IDs on it. Okay? You may not be done, that's fine. I'm looking for effort rather than correctness. So put your IDs on it. Trade it with another pair. Okay? Another group. And we're not going to write comments on it this time. I'm just going to ask you some quick questions about how they differ or are the same. Okay? So make sure your IDs are on it. Give it to somebody else. I'll wait till I see papers stop moving here. Okay. So, I'm going to ask you some questions about whether the paper you wrote and the paper you got by trading for somebody look similar or different in various ways. Okay? And now I see a lot more papers moving. Okay. So, we have seen two different kinds of pictures today. We've seen, like we have on the right here, where we have the name fraction, then a set of fields, then a set of methods. And we've seen things like we have on the left here, where we have boxes for each object and method as it's running. Okay, so my first question is, raise your hand if you and the other paper you've now looked at both have the same type of these two diagrams. We both did the same kind. Okay? So we either both have something that looks like these white boxes, or we both have something that looks like these black boxes. Yes, most of you do. Okay. I personally, not the one you're looking at right now, but the one you just gave away, wrote something that looks like the white boxes. Hooray! Most of you did. Good. All right. They should look like the white boxes. That's what a UML class diagram is. Next question. They and I, right, two papers, had the same set of fields. We had the same fields. Anyone? Three groups had the same fields as somebody else, which is odd because maybe they trade with each other. All right, so three groups had the same fields. We had the same number of fields. I had three fields, they had three fields. I had seven, they had seven. Okay? So the minority all the way along. This is generally true. When we're designing classes, there's lots of right ways to do it. There's also even more wrong ways to do it, and we'll probably talk about some of those here in a moment, okay? But there's lots of right ways to do it. Okay, I'm going to walk through how I would diagram this. So if you could pass all the papers towards the middle aisle, and Sam will come collect them. Meanwhile, I'm going to create a diagram, and I'm going to do it in a text editor because it makes it easier for me to do it cleanly. Okay? So, the first part of that box is the name of the class. We didn't tell you the name of the class, so you could have picked one. Somebody want to tell me, what did you name your class? I don't really care, but somebody tell me, what did you name it? Yes? GPS. Okay. Great, we have GPS. In general, some advice for naming classes. You want it to be long enough to distinguish it from any other type of object. So if I saw a class GPS, I might think it represents a device for locating where I am, or I might think it represents a point, or who knows what I think, it might represent the genealogical proof standard. Okay? So usually a little bit longer name is better. Okay? Something like GPS coordinate, or GPS point, or latitude, longitude, or something that will tell people a little bit more what it means. It's just sort of a matter of taste. Java doesn't care, but humans sometimes do. Okay? Fields. Some brave soul, either what you wrote or the paper you were just looking at. What fields do you have? I don't care which of the two papers you talk about, but I need somebody to tell me what fields they have. Yes? Distance between distance to sea level and
point.
Okay, so can you tell me what types these things have? What is the type of the distance between a GPS coordinate?
Double.
Okay. Same here. And point, what type of thing is a point? An array of two what's? To what type of things? Ints? Okay, so you have an int array. All right, here are some fields. Quick poll. I like this set of fields. This is a good way of modeling GPS coordinates. It's a matter of personal taste. Wow. Not even the person who suggests it. Okay, well. Great, here's a way we don't like to do it. So let's talk about a different way to do it. A different set of attributes or fields we might have in our class. Anyone? Yes?
So x and y, both ints?
Right. Well, x point and y point, they're two separate.
Okay. Yep. Okay. That it? Okay. For now, this is it. I like modeling GPS coordinates as two ints, x and y. Hooray, we got four people to raise their hands. I don't like it. Most people don't like it. Oh no, somebody wants just to change for a different model. Yes, in the back. Add elevation. What type of thing is elevation? Elevate. Height. What type of thing is elevation? Also an int. Okay, so I have three ints. I like it now. Nope, still don't like it. Oh, we still have a lot of people don't like it. What can we change, or is there a different way to do this? Yes. Make them doubles. Yes, it turns out that if we only have ints, we can't represent very much detail. Right, so an integer, but the circumference of the world's about 10, what is it? Radius of the world's about 10,000 miles. So a single GPS coordinate is something on the order of several thousand, a single integer latitude or longitude is at least several hundred miles across. Not very good for navigation, so double makes more sense. I like it now. Nope, still don't like it. We got some people that still don't like it. Yeah, back here, what would you change?
I would make 2 points. One array, an array.
Okay, so make a point one that is a double array or interarray? What kind of array?
Double array.
Okay, so I have a double array and I have point two that's also a double array.
And height.
You can make it three.
So these are arrays of three things?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not allowed to write that in Java, but we'll pretend they're made to be three things long. I like having two arrays as my implementation. Oh, a lot of people. I know, still not happy. Yes. You like the early run. So is there somebody that doesn't like any of these? I don't like any of the things on the board. Think we should add a fourth option. Okay. So let's talk about these. The first one, probably not the best thing, as you all recognized. So what's wrong with it? Okay. The problem is, when I'm modeling a GPS coordinate, I want to model what information I need to know about one such coordinate. And it's not very meaningful, for example, to know the distance between a coordinate. Right? What is the distance between negative 73 latitude, 48 longitude? It's not a meaningful question. Okay? So it doesn't make sense necessarily to talk about distance between distance to sea level. We ended up having later, because that's the same thing as elevation. Okay? So we kept that one. That seems to be something we all liked. And then we already talked about how double might be better than int for our point. Okay. Basically, the difference between the other two is, do we have 1 point or 2 point inside our GPS coordinate? And the correct answer is one. Okay. If I want to talk about 2 points, I'll make two GPS coordinate objects. Just like if I want to talk about two scanners, I make two scanners. Or if I want to talk about two lists, I'll make two array lists. I don't make one array list that has two lists inside of it. If I wanted to talk about 2 points, I want to make sure the name of my class represents that it's a pair of GPS coordinates somehow. Okay? But if I'm just modeling one coordinate, I probably just want one. So I'm going to remove these other two ideas. We're just going to go with this one. Is it better to do three variables or an array? Almost entirely up to you. In general, though, there's just a few of them, and you know how many there are. I would suggest making them variables. It'll be easier to write your code. But you're always welcome to use an array instead if that makes you happy. I wouldn't have named them this, though. I would have picked names for my variables based on what they mean. So, what is the x-coordinate of the GPS coordinate of Charlottesville? What is its x? It's latitude. So you didn't tell me its number, but you told me a different name for it. Okay, now latitude is actually x or y? So unclear, but at least we know what latitude means. Okay? And then I guess we should call this altitude, to be concise, right? Does it matter? You are the only one that will see your field names because you'll always make them private. But in general, the more they match what the world thinks about them as, the easier it'll make your life. Okay. Fields. Methods. Somebody want to give me a method we might want to have given this definition of GPS coordinate? Yes. Compute distance. I'm going to abbreviate it. CompDist, what should its parameters be, if any? Anyone? Parameters, yes. Two GPS coordinates. And its return type? A double. Okay. This is not the right way to do it. And here's why. When I run this method, how many GPS coordinates will my code have access to?
One.
Three. It will have A, it will have B, and it will have this. And what is the distance between 3 points? Overdefined. Okay, I only need to give one GPS coordinate. In the parameters, I only need to give one the parameter because one comes for free. All methods of a class will have this for free. This will be the type of whatever class I'm defining. So if I only need 1 point, I don't need any parameters. If I need 2 points, I need one parameter of that type. If I need three, I would need two parameters of that type, because I've got this and whatever else you supply. Questions about that?
Yeah,
Yes?
When you're making your parameters, do you have to use that?
It does not matter what I name them. As a matter of fact, technically, when I'm writing these things, I'm not supposed to give them a name. That's a minor detail, not particularly interesting. The name you give your parameters and your local variables and even your fields doesn't really matter. Fields matter more than local variables and parameters, but just pick something that means something to you. Okay? So if I wanted to name this Julio, that's fine. Okay? I'm the only one that's reading this code. I'm the only one writing this code. I'm welcome to call it whatever I care to call it. Other questions? Yes? What is this? Good question. This is a variable that points to the object doing the work. Okay? So in my eat method, this points to, I don't remember what we're modeling here, humans. Yes. So this points to a human object. Okay? It comes in automatically, and where did it come from? And somewhere in the code there was h, I guess we have up here, right? In the code we had h.eat. So the value of h, a human object, got passed into the value of this inside the other method. It's a way of getting that object that's doing the work. Okay? Me, if you want to think of it that way. It's the thing doing the work. Automatically generated. Other questions? Okay, we've got a minute over. I am so sorry. I will post this and the remaining piece of it. There's one more piece we need on the website. I will see you all on Wednesday. Remember, bring in something for show and tell.